chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Rules for holy living. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, be holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, sir. Colossians 3. If you've got a Bible in front of you and you open it to that section of Colossians, it's Colossians chapter 3 and the first two-thirds. You'll see that it's entitled Rules for Holy Living, which is the title that we gave to this service, Rules for Holy Living. You'll see also that the second section of Colossians chapter 3 is entitled Rules for Christian Households. This is one of the most famous sections of the New Testament, one of the most debated, discussed, disliked, frustrated, and so on. It's the piece that begins, "Wives, be submit to your husbands." You will also notice that I only asked Sarah to read the front half because I'm a wimp. And the discussion with my wife, which went along the lines of, "I'm going to work on wives, submit to your husbands," ended up with me submitting to my wife. So we're going to focus on the first piece of the chapter, but not to the exclusion of the other pieces. And as I started to look at this, there were a number of things which immediately came to mind. And I was mindful of a conversation that, I can't remember who it was, but a minister who was with us some time ago, asked a question of the church: have you ever met anybody famous? My recollection was that most people in our church had actually met someone really quite famous. I think the Queen was amongst them, Prince Philip and so on. Has anybody here met the Queen? Nope. Prince Philip. Anybody famous? Yes, there's lots of... Prince Philip obviously gets around here a lot more. Yes, lots of people go, "Yes, Prince Philip." Anybody else? Any other famous people that you've met? Who? Benjamin Ogilvie. Thank you. Thank you. You can see the confusion on my face. Thanks, Beryl. Opera's not really my thing. If you'd said Bono, I would have understood. Yes. Cliff Richard, anybody? Anybody met Cliff Richard? Yeah, we got lots of hands for Cliff. Who else? Maggie. Anybody met Maggie Thatcher? I know she's dead now, but did anybody meet Maggie Thatcher? Yep. Cool. Who else? Who else might you know? Bill Gates. Anybody heard of Bill Gates? Anybody met Bill Gates? No? Okay. That's, anybody else important at all? Anyone that you can think of? Yes. Ramsay MacDonald. Ramsay MacDonald. Deep respect. Yes. Will Long. Will Young. Sorry, forgive my hearing. It's a long way. Excellent. Simon Stevens. Oh, yes. Very famous man indeed. The man in charge of the National Health Service. Anybody else? Anne Widdecombe. Yes, we all remember Anne Widdecombe from Strictly, yes? Chris? Spike Milligan. My word. Excellent. So, a number of famous people. Did that fame rub off? I'm really interested to know whether Spike Milligan rubbed off on you, Chris. Did any of that fame rub off? Or is it just a meeting and then we moved on? Were they fantastic, separate, different people? Or were they just ordinary folk? Just like you and me. My conversation with Prince Philip was very ordinary. It was all about work. And I was stunned at how much he knew about the work that I was presenting to him. I had the good fortune or misfortune, depending on your politics, to sit and have breakfast with Dennis and Margaret Thatcher one day. And the conversation was extremely ordinary. It was mostly about Mark Thatcher, who, as many of you may recall, had somewhat of a propensity to get lost in deserts and do wild and crazy things while his poor mother was somewhat stressed by it. Mark, I hasten to add, was safe, sound, and sitting next to me. But that's another story at that time. And Margaret Thatcher was long retired when I when I met her. Did the fame rub off? No, not at all. Her worries, her concerns were exactly the same as everybody else's. Prince Philip's interest was exactly the same as everybody else's, the human beings. So when I sat down and read this, the first bit of this reading, since then, you have been raised with Christ. I was somewhat challenged to think about what that actually meant. You have been raised with Christ. The implications are that if we have been raised with Christ, we have also died with Christ. And surely the rest of this passage goes on to tell us precisely that. We are dead with Christ and raised with Christ. And where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, right hand of God, to share that thought that we too are raised with Christ. And this is not something that is going to happen. This is something that has already happened. We have been raised with Christ. Now, for some of you who are regular at this church, you'll know that we looked at Acts. Okay, I know it was a long time ago. In fact, we stopped looking at Acts nearly 5 weeks ago now. But having spent 30 weeks on Acts, you'll understand, if you're not regular at this church, that 30 weeks of Acts is quite a long time. And by the end of it, everyone was beginning to go, let's move on. And in Acts, what we understood, we were looking at Lucan theology. We were looking at the theology of what Luke had to say about Christ. In Colossians, this is a book that was written by Paul. We know that it was written by Paul because he actually tells us that it's written by Paul. It was written whilst he was in prison in Rome. So we've got a very clear timing of when this book was written. And he's writing to the church at Colossae. We know a bit about the church at Colossae. So in order to understand some of the theology of what Paul is sharing here, we need to take just a small step back, because we can drill down into this stuff and draw some very wrong conclusions if we're not very careful. So looking at this book just at the macro level, Paul is addressing a group of Christians, a new fledgling church. Incidentally, it's a church that he never got to visit. He didn't go to Colossae. He wasn't responsible for planting the church there. But he'd heard a lot about the church at Colossae. And he's talking to these people as individuals. He's talking about you, not you church collective, you church personal. This is about you as an individual. And all of the theology that's going on in here is about individuality in the whole of Colossians. Colossians is not about the behavior of an organization. It's about the behavior of an individual. He's writing at a time when there was massive change, political change, in the Roman Empire. During Paul's imprisonment in Rome, there was a change in emperor. The Roman emperor, who had been and was now seen as the old guy, the old guard, was coming to the end of his time. And the new emperor was the young guy, the energetic guy, the guy that everybody was looking forward to. This was a guy who, as the emperor, before he became emperor, had been very successful in leading armies in battle. He'd been very politically astute. He'd actually done very well on the diplomatic front as well. He could sing, he could dance, he could play music. He was considered to be the bee's knees. This man was Nero. And we all know what happened with Nero. Very quickly after he became emperor, it kind of went to his head. And, well, let's just say it didn't end well. So that's what's going on. So that's the context in which this letter has been written. These people are being Christians in an environment where leadership and almost godlike, because the Caesar was almost a god in the Roman Empire, the ultimate authority within the state, within the known world, Caesar, was changing, and changing to someone who was bringing great hope. And all through the book of Colossians, all through this this passage, but also this whole book, Paul's theology is all about the theology of hope for the future. And what he's saying here is, don't put your hope into the rulers of the world. Put your hope into what has already happened to you. You have been raised with Christ. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that has already happened. It's not something that you've got to work on. It's something that's been completed. And Christ, the only Son of the living God, you have been raised with the only Son of the living God. Have you met somebody important yet? And if you have, how has that rubbed off on you? Margaret Thatcher was a very ordinary person. She had a big responsibility and a very big and very important job. She was very good at politics and diplomacy. I have no idea whether she could sing and dance or not. But there are people who put their hope in the politicians. Right now, the Labour Party is going through a decision about who will be the next leader. The great hope of what's going to happen next. Where do we put our hope? Where do we put our faith? So what Paul is writing to the Colossians here is, you, not you collective, you individual, have been raised. Have been. It is done. There is no expectation of what's to come. You're not hoping that you will be raised. You have been raised. This is as good as it gets, right? So we know that what we're being called on here is to recognize that we have met and been raised with the Son of the living God, the Most High God, the Creator God. If you go back to the beginning of Colossians, just in chapter 1, we read about Christ. Paul is saying everything was made in him and through him and for him. Paul is placing Christ as part of a triune God. So this is not someone subservient to God. This is someone equal to God, and you have been raised with him. So the whole of this book is about the preeminence of Christ. And the reason that the whole of this book is about the preeminence of Christ is because the new church at Colossae had been struggling with some context. There was a new church, it had started, and the people had begun to come in, and the success of the church, the growth of the church, was attractive. People came because it was growing. It was a good place to be. People could see that there were exciting things happening. It was a community that was growing in strength and confidence, and people wanted to be part of that. However, as a part of that process, some muddled thinking had entered in. There was some confusion. There were heresies that were beginning to creep in. People were saying, here is a new set of rules. Not only must you do this, but you must also do that. Sue Percy talked about it. This is the Reverend Sue Percy, who was here speaking last Sunday. She spoke a little bit about this as well. There was a group who were known as the Gnostics. That's G-N-O, Gnostics. And they argued that everything in heaven was good. It's important to understand what the Gnostics thought and what they were saying to this church, so that when you read the beginning of Colossians 3 that says, you have been raised with Christ, what Paul is saying to these Christians is, you are in the heavenly realm. So from a Gnostic point of view, you're already good. You're already part of the good, not part of the earth, which the Gnostics thought was bad. They thought everything in the earth was bad. They thought the physicality of the flesh was bad. Some of them actually beat themselves with sticks and chains and all sorts of things to show how much they hated their own bodies. And some of them argued that you should use that process as part of ritual within worship. And the church at Colossae was beginning to understand that maybe there was some truth in what the Gnostics were saying. And what Paul is writing to them to say, apart from anything else, you are already in heaven. You're already part of the heavenly realm. You are already made good. There is nothing more to be done. Oh, and the work has been completed. The work to make you part of heaven has been completed. It's not something to be done, and it's not something that's in process. The death and resurrection of Jesus and your acceptance of Christ is all that's required here. And Paul is very clear about that. Christ is very clear about that. All you need to do is accept Jesus. So everything on heaven, in heaven, the heavens above, is good. Everything on the earth is bad. And Paul is saying, that's not true. You are part of the good. You are part of what God is doing in this world. You are part of the salt, the light, the influence, the changes, the things that will change people's lives for the better. Because you are already good. The work to make you good is done. So you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. If we skip forward a few verses in this very book, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, the sting in the tail, the obligation. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents. This is the one I always struggled with. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We spend a great deal of time wrapping ourselves up in discussions about how should we behave and what should we do and how should we do, what should we do in this particular circumstance, or how do we do this, or who's on the coffee rota this week, or who's doing the cleaning, or all of the different things that just go on in order for us to be a church community. And yet Paul says at the beginning of this, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And the challenge for us, as we look at the situation in Calais, as we look at and try to understand and make sense of what happened at Shoreham yesterday, as we look at the situation of people fleeing from their homes, coming across the Mediterranean, taking massive risks, we need to get involved not as a, we can solve all of these problems because we can't. We need to get involved to be the hope that is in Christ, to share the hope that is in Christ, not to solve all the world's problems, not to fix everybody's illnesses, not to make people instantly healed, not to resolve all of the sicknesses or the anger or the frustration, but to be what God wants us to be in this world, to bring hope for our own salvation, an engagement with Jesus, an understanding of what he has done for us. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ appears, where is Christ? All around? In everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we do? Is Christ only in us? Is God working in the wider world outside of us? How often do we make the mistake of thinking that Christ only works through his church? Some years ago, we had people come and talk to us about evangelism as a church. And one of the things that stuck in my mind from that workshop was a discussion that went, if you think that evangelism is done by you, think again. It is Christ who is in the world. Go do what Christ is doing, not ask Christ to do what you're doing. The challenge for us as individuals and as a church, as we look for a new minister, as we consider who we are, as we consider the changing environment that we find ourselves in, is to find out not what we should be doing as a church, but to find out where Christ is at work. To go and be part of that. To go and join Christ in his work, and not to ask Christ to join us in our work. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks to God the Father. Not asking him to bless the work that we're doing, but give thanks to the work of Christ in the world. We're called on to sing psalms and spiritual songs, to explore with gratitude what the Lord has done for us, to understand and reiterate. I was, again, reading in preparation for this, reading a great theologian who argued that every day he reads a psalm and meditates on it. Because within the psalms he found all that he needed to worship God and to express what he has done and what he recognized God has done in and through him. To take time out to look at the Psalms. For that reason, we looked at Psalm 139 earlier with the Lego folk. It's a bit of fun. Another consideration for the way we can look at Psalm 139 is in song. I tried to find a song that we could share in together. And what I came up with in the end was a piece of video. Not that we should stand and sing it, but then in closing our service today, what we would do is listen, read the words. The words will be on the screen. Listen to the words and consider what God is saying to us through this passage, through Colossians, through our worship, through the things that we're doing together and the things that we're doing as individuals. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died. You died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Amen.
From afar, and you're acquainted with all my ways. In the secret my mother's womb, you saw me in everything you knew. There you took your time to patiently mold me. Every part is divine, so I praise you. Yes, I do. I am fearfully and wonderfully made to be like you. I do. How marvelous and wonderful is everything you do.
Shall we share the grace together? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you.